The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Hundreds more people killed in Israeli strikes on Beirut this week and vast numbers across the country displaced. Entire neighbourhoods have been flattened, critical infrastructure damaged, and roughly a fifth of the population already forced from their homes. The destruction in Lebanon is absolutely immense. Now, the scale of this week's strikes was seen by many observers as Netanyahu's attempt to derail the peace talks between the US and Iran. Netanyahu has now been prevailed upon to stay his hand for the moment as the talks then stalled in Islamabad. Joining me now to talk about all of this is Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you.
Fawaz, can you maybe dissect for us what has happened in Islamabad? Was this in any way a serious attempt to reach a deal?
Well, it really is very difficult to make sense of what has happened. Let me just provide a bit of context to your listeners about what we have seen in the past 48 hours. The 2015 nuclear deal between Iran on the one hand and the Obama administration and other great powers took almost 2 years, 20 months to be specific, to conclude. The Trump administration went into this particular peace talks or ceasefire talks in Islamabad and spent 20 hours, give and take. 2 years versus 20 hours. You have so many complex questions on the table, in addition to new problems that have come up after the U.S.-Israel war, in particular the Strait of Hormuz. And what the Vice President, J.D. Vance, said, the Iranians have basically decided not to accept our terms. What he's really saying, J.D. Vance, is that the Trump administration wants Iran to accept American demands, the same demands that it provided Iran before they decided to attack Iran 5 weeks ago. So Iran again is asked to submit, to capitulate, to surrender, while Iran views itself actually feels more emboldened because it has been able to withstand one of the most devastating military campaigns in history by the United States and Israel. So procedurally, in terms of procedures, I think the divide between the two sides are so huge, yet the Trump administration wants a grand deal, want a breakthrough in 1 day, or rather in 2 days of talks with Iran.
Now, the question of what weapons J.D. Vance had in his back pocket, I mean, we saw the reaction of the world generally, as well as everywhere in the Middle East, to the threat to end the civilization of Iran in a few hours by massive strikes on everything that makes a civilization work. The backlash was such that it is inconceivable maybe that they could revisit that kind of threat. So Vance has said that, you know, Iran has much more to be fearful of from this breakdown than the United States has. So what's next, do you think, from the United States?
You know, Pat, I think you're spot on. There is near consensus in the United States that Donald Trump, the risks of restarting the war are present much more serious threats to the Trump presidency. First of all, you have a spike in inflation in the United States, 3.3%, almost, 1 point higher than before the war. Americans are feeling the pain in their pocketbooks, in supermarkets, and at the gas stations. There's a widespread opposition to the war in the United States. More than 60% of Americans oppose the war. President Trump's diplomacy has really been undermined by his blusters and his statements, that blatant and brazen statement, well, genocidal intent, wiping out a whole civilization in one night. There is widespread opposition worldwide. The world economy has slowed down. inflation when it comes to gas and oil and other commodities. And you have also, keep in mind, midterm elections are coming up very soon for Donald Trump. So the Iranian leadership knows Donald Trump's game. They realize his hands are fettered. And as the foreign minister said, the Iranian foreign minister, after the end of the talk, he said, well, you killed our leaders, you killed our citizens, you killed our children. We are more determined than ever to resist and basically advance Iran's national interest. So what Iran is really saying, don't count on us capitulating after everything that has been done to us by you and Israel. And that's why I feel, even though the first round has failed to deliver a diplomatic breakthrough, I think the ceasefire most probably will be expanded, and we could really see more talks between Iran and the United States in the next few days and next few weeks, because I doubt it very much whether the Trump administration has the luxury to really return to war, given the threats to Donald Trump's presidency and domestic constituency in the United States.
Now, the question of Netanyahu's actions, I mean, when the ceasefire was announced hours before the deadline to the end of the Iranian civilization, it was the understanding, and this was reiterated by the Pakistanis, that Lebanon and Israel's attacks on Lebanon would cease, that was part of the deal. And Netanyahu immediately said, no, it isn't. And then Trump kind of backed him up retrospectively that Lebanon was not part of the deal. Yet it was the understanding of the Pakistanis and the Iranians that it was. Now, was that, again, Netanyahu saying one thing and requiring the backup of Trump to go back on an arrangement that had been made by the Trump administration?
You know, for our listeners, Pat, let me just lay out what happened, the facts we have. I'm not analyzing. The Pakistani prime minister said, quote unquote, ceasefire that includes all fronts, including Lebanon, quote unquote. And it was the White House that edited the statement by the Pakistani prime minister. This was not a unilateral Pakistani announcement. It was a joint coordinated statement by the United States and Pakistan. So Lebanon was included. And Pakistan's leaders have reiterated this fact after Benjamin Netanyahu basically carried out a mass slaughter of more than 352 Lebanese killed and almost 2,000 injured. Great devastation in the heart of Beirut. Why? Very simply, because Benjamin Netanyahu was angry. He was enraged. President Trump did not even inform him about the ceasefire talks, except after the ceasefire was announced. And we know that Benjamin Netanyahu's entire career, his political future, his legacy depends on basically forever war. And that's why the escalation, because Benjamin Netanyahu had hoped to really torpedo the ceasefire by basically triggering a response from Hezbollah, as it did, and also from Iran. So President Trump had no choice, sadly and tragically, but to support Benjamin Netanyahu. But then a day later, he called Benjamin Netanyahu and he asked him to limit his attacks on Lebanon, not to attack Beirut, continue to attack southern Lebanon and the Bekaa Valley. So all in all, that's why the Iranians went, quote unquote, the Iranian delegation led by the head of the parliament, Mohammad Ghalibaf, he said, well, look, how could we trust you if you had violated the ceasefire before even we met? Lebanon was included in the ceasefire, and it tells you a great deal that there is no trust between Iran and the United States, and that's my fear. If there is no trust, how could you really go into the talks and arrive at a settlement through which or in which you realize that President Trump and the Americans cannot even basically assert control over their ally who participated in the war against Iran and now against Lebanon?
Now, we understand, looking at the numbers, that support for Israeli actions has diminished in the United States. It's now at a historic low. It may be around 50% compared to well up in the 70s or 80% a decade ago. Netanyahu must understand that this is an inexorable process, that the support in the United States for Israel will decline.
Well, you know, Pat, I mean, you're asking, sadly, a rational question. Your underlying premise is that Benjamin Netanyahu really cares about Israel's national interest or about Israel's perceptions in the United States and the West. Benjamin Netanyahu, like Donald Trump, cares about one thing, about Benjamin Netanyahu, his political career. You have elections coming up in Israel in 3 months. His future is online. His legacy is online. And yet, I mean, I think, again, I don't exaggerate, Pat, there is near consensus in the United States that what we have seen in the past 2 years or so, it's a turning point in Israel's relations with the United States. In particular, after Benjamin Netanyahu convinced Donald Trump that the war against Iran was going to be easy, quick, it was going to be, you know, not costly and bring about regime change. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. The New York Times had a major investigative report 2 days ago in which it basically documented how Benjamin Netanyahu and the Mossad convinced Donald Trump that the war was going to be easy and it will bring about regime change in Iran. Of course, Donald Trump is responsible. He's a big guy, right? So it's his responsibility. But there is a great deal of anger in the United States against Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, even within the Republican Party, even within the MAGA movement, the social base of Donald Trump. And the surveys and the opinion polls show in the United States that opinions are changing towards Israel. In fact, you mentioned 50% in the Democratic Party. Large majorities now support the Palestinians and basically blame Israel for the tragedy, ongoing tragedy of the Palestinians. So regardless of what happened, when and if the dust settles in the Middle East, Israel will find itself in a different strategic position in the United States. And this really could be a transformative moment for the special relationship between the United States and Israel, given the fact that the United States that has armed Israel, shielded Israel, made sure that Israel nearly gets away with committing war crimes and apparent genocide in Gaza. So any changes in the United States could really present existential threat to Israel itself in the future.
Fawaz Gurga is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.